Welcome to the Sacred Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore the many facets of feminine power and why it is so important for women and for men to step into this power in our world at this time. This is Emmy from Feminine Revered, and my magical guest for today is Sandy Hart. Sandy is a grandmother, mother, and wife in Southern California. She's an award-winning leader in the fields of women's empowerment and interfaith community building. She's the president of the Women's Interfaith Global Organization, SARA, the Spiritual and Religious Alliance for Hope, established in 2001. Sandy served in leadership as chair for the North American region of the United Religions Initiative, founder of Compassionate California, and developed and served as director for the women and girls sector for the Charter for Compassion. She recently released her book, The Liminal Odyssey, Alchemical Power of the Spaces in Between. Sandy also served on the Women's Task Force for the 2023 Parliament of World's Religions. Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you, Emmy. I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you. It's a blessing to have you with us. And I am so very excited to be learning from you today.
Likewise.
Thank you, Sandy. Now, since my podcast is called Sacred Feminine Power, I love to start by asking my guests, what does sacred feminine power mean to you personally?
I really love that you asked this question because I think it's one of the most important questions that we could be asking one another right now. And also that you included the gendered male in this, because clearly the divine feminine exists in all of us. No matter how you identify. And the divine feminine for me means responsibility, and it also means privilege. We are all entrusted with this balance of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And when either is out of balance, then it becomes the toxic feminine or the toxic masculine, and it's not the way we were intended to be as the human animal. And so when we recognize the conditions that prevent us from living in that balance, we can really step into that responsibility and see it as an ultimate privilege. And, I've lived that experience. And as soon as I started looking at it as a privilege, I started noticing a powerful shift in my life.
I love that reframe and seeing it as the ultimate privilege. That is such a beautiful way of putting it. And something that I think a lot of us within this field of the divine feminine, so to speak, might not actually think about in those terms. So I love how you went from the balance between the feminine and the masculine, really just brought it down to responsibility and privilege, which are so, so very important, I think, especially now in these times of transition that we are in as a planet and as humanity, as the collective.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't know where we're going, but we know we're on our way. And we know that by whether it's science, spirituality, indexes and matrices on global and national scales, that we as the human animal need one another, and that the conditions on the planet right now are results of that disconnection. And so when we all step into that power, we meet at that place, at that frequency. And then there's no stopping us, because I know that there's this unknown world that's calling us, and I don't want to poison the water hole when I get there. So I have to step into my highest power, and I need you to step into your highest power, and I need him to step into his highest power, so we can all get there together easily and row, row, row our boat there.
So very true. And it really does require this systemic, structural change within the way our planet is currently run, but also I think ultimately within every single individual, as you were saying there, a change in the way we view the world, the change in the way we view relationships between and within the human race, but also, as you said, between humans and animals, between humans and nature, between humans and Mother Earth as a sentient being as well.
And humans and other humans.
Yeah.
The relationships we have all around us throughout our life as well. But absolutely, absolutely, you're so right.
Well, that's a beautiful challenge to be surrounded by and to be within at the moment on planet Earth for all of us, I think. And speaking of challenges, I was wondering if you could share with us a challenge that you have faced that's really helped you to activate sacred feminine power within you.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's really hard for me to pick one. And there is a recent one that was an indicator of my growth over the years. Thank you for mentioning my book, The Liminal Odyssey, The Alchemical Power of the Spaces in Between, because that book started out to be me telling a single story of this wildly interesting, fascinating experience that I had and that I'd been urged to tell. And as I'm writing the story, I'm discovering lessons that I learned from that and how that lesson learned, kind of wove me into the next story and then the next story. And every one of my stories that I started telling that are pretty much what you've just asked me, that were a challenge of some sort in my life. And no one is exempt from having challenges in their life that are really fascinating stories, I'm sure. Each one of them were fraught with a really important lesson that I had to learn. And they were all different lessons across a whole diverse range, from physiology to, from science to spirituality to focusing on the impeccability of my words, to recognizing synchronicities, to accepting archetypal relationships and behaviors within myself. And that these challenges that were bringing these gifts, the more I was writing about them, the more I was really focusing on practicing those skills that I had learned along the way. And I started noticing a shift in the way I responded to things that happen in my life now, and started seeing my life just getting easier and less emotional and I felt like I was so much more in control of where I'm going in my life. And the biggest indicator of that was a recent challenge that I had where somebody I absolutely trusted with my heart and soul. And by the way, trust is a big part of me that I've been working on. We all have something that is a condition that we can all do a little extra work on. And mine is trusting. And where all that came from is, whether it was from a childhood trauma or what have you, it's a lesson I had to learn. And, but this is somebody that I truly trusted and worked very long and very closely with for a very long time for an event that we actually were together for a whole week. And right before that event, this individual just showed me who they were. And I think, an earlier version of who I was would have crumbled to the floor, would have been heartbroken. But instead, my heart was broken open. I immediately was able to bear witness to what was happening with this relationship rather than succumb to victimization and, and coil into a ball, which can happen when somebody you truly love kind of breaks your heart. And that's not what happened, Emmy. What happened was I found myself pulling my shoulders back and my chin up and just feeling really solid on the hollow ground I was standing on, which I guess was my divine feminine power. And I can recognize it now. I'm getting full body. I'm kind of feeling, cellular memory is bringing me back to that moment where I kind of came to this realization was, wow, am I really witnessing this experience, this challenge? And the real challenge for me was spending a whole week together. And never once wavering in that frequency of the divine feminine. That didn't mean that I didn't stop and do some personal introspection, make sure that, you know, really what was my role in this, which certainly existed. Yet it just reframed everything. And just to think the hit on my nervous system that I have saved. And I at some point I can miss what, you know, that relationship, but what a blessing that I not only experienced, I don't know how to describe it. It was really surreal. It's like watching a movie almost. I think that, to answer your question, the greatest challenge where I witnessed the divine feminine emerging in me or strengthen the divine feminine was really putting this philosophy of what I've been discovering in my book, which has actually turned out to be a philosophy, to the test. And, you know, and I guess it holds water.
Wow. Yeah. And it really speaks to the inner work that you've done on yourself to be able to reach that point where you truly are able to see something from the observer perspective, something that, as you said, could very easily have thrown you off and you could have easily curled into that ball in victim mode. But to be able to rise above that and see it from the observer perspective and still be able to interact with that person for a whole week, despite of what happened. I mean, that's really, I would call that very true leadership, the kind of leadership that we really need.
Thank you. And I really felt that there's that responsibility too. And that responsibility also goes to us leaders who claim to be leaders. And I claim to be a leader, that if it was beyond me. Mm. I was in service to the divine feminine and in service to everyone who was watching as well. But you said it best, that work I did on myself. So often we look outside of ourselves for all the answers and somebody else's way. And those ways are really important. I mean, certainly I'm hoping people listen and take something from what I say. Yet find it in yourself to be true. One of the first things I say in my book is, don't believe anything you read here. Take it verbatim. Question everything so that it makes sense to you. And then it becomes part of the fiber of who you are if you truly, truly believe it and buy into it. And you can really grok it at a level that is true to your value system, is true to your personality and your intention and will. Because will and intention are partners. Intention is, the intention to hold this vision. Will is the willingness and the commitment to practice it. And I don't think any of these things come easy. I think sometimes they require just some simple practices and remembering constantly until, because we have this power in our mind and our brain, I beg your pardon, called neuroplasticity. And the more we practice, the more we remember things, the more we recite things, the more we say our mantras, the more we do the same thing over and over and over again, it creates new neural pathways in our mind. And that ultimately is so thoughts automatically just slip and slide right down that path. And so there's practice, there's work to do to get here. Mm-hmm. But if you're lucky, maybe you were born into it. Maybe this is a precondition. I'm not sure. I mean, I certainly wasn't. I was a hot mess. And sometimes I am a hot mess. You know, sometimes I'm on a different level. And I allow myself to fall apart sometimes because it's when I put myself back together that I get stronger.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And we are still human beings living in that 3D experience. And I think compassion, which is a theme that you work around so much, mm-hmm. is such an important trait and virtue or value to have, hold on to as we walk our paths and evolve as human beings as well.
Well, it's absolutely. Compassion is wired into us as the human animal. It's actually our one of our most important values and virtues to hold, and to know that it's also biological. We have a compassion nerve scientists are calling the vagal nerve the compassion nerve, because it runs through all of our vital organs, starts at the top of our spine, and is activated by the glands that recognize the suffering of another, and then activates the condition of the need or the desire to do something about that suffering. It's what makes us connect. It's what allows us to set our gaze on suffering, which allows us to remember who we are as a connected part of the tribe. So thank you for bringing up compassion. It's critically important to understand that we're compassionate beings. Darwin never said survival is for the fittest, to mean the one with the gnarliest teeth and that will backbite and step over the other. That is the system of domination that does not serve us. That is the biggest misconception of science up until the recent era, into modern psychology anyway. And that is that what Darwin did write volumes about is that survival is for the most adaptable and compassionate. And he might have said fittest, but we've ascribed what we mean, what we think fit means. It's just like, well, for me, fit means living in a world where I live 24/7 in the condition that I experienced for that whole week. I still see that individual as my beloved. I don't choose to play with that individual or work with that individual, but I hold no ill feelings. As a matter of fact, I have absolute compassion for that individual. And I see my shadow of that. So I'm easier to recognize my condition to perhaps pull some of that stuff that happened. You know, I think it doesn't help to say these things unless you recognize that we're all capable of treating people as poorly as we've been treated. Mm-hmm. Yet when we recognize it, you know, and that's what the word liminal means. Well, what the word liminal means in the title of my book is, it means threshold. It means a space in between a number of different ways of looking at it. But generally, in this case, it's like witnessing the behavior and having a choice of how you're going to respond to it. Crisis, between crisis and action, between decision and choice. It's also the evolutionary growth spurt we're in right now. So wherever there's a space, even if it's a space between notes and music, it predetermines what's coming next. That's the liminal space. It's not the space, it's what we do in it. So we all have that ability. We just have to practice it.
Wow. You've said so many beautiful things there and opened so many portals for us to dive deeper into from the incredible power that we hold within our bodies that we so often underestimate. That's like literally biologically wired into our systems, into our bodies. And also this continuous, constant, I would say systematic misconception and distortion of what science could be and how it could be interpreted. And I love your exploration of the liminal space. I mean, that is such a yummy, delicious space to be in and to really explore the different options and choices and answers we have. And again, to come back to your concept of responsibility, I would say that it's absolutely our responsibility to be in that liminal space, even though it might feel a bit scary at some times, to be there, to really root into that space and allow the answers to come. Would you agree with that?
Oh, gosh. Yes, you're right. It is juicy. It's where the nectar is. It's where the gems and pearls of our life are waiting for us to discover them. I have always had the propensity to pull apart every situation or growing up in a rather affluent community with no money. My parents I have no idea how they got us there, but you know, I had no choice but to make the most out of every situation, because I could have gotten into a lot of trouble if I didn't. And just to have turn mundane experiences into miraculous ones. And that's truly what the liminal space offers us, an opportunity to go, oh, wait, what more is here? And you know, evidence of this, Emmy, when you start practicing some of the practices that I put in the book, and they're simple, they're so simple, is you start noticing synchronicities more and more. To the point where I see 5-6 a day. I mean, it's just magical. It's almost distracting. It's really amazing. I have so many more stories to tell, because they're all so miraculous, and I just don't know what more to make about them other than to write them down, or to share them. And life just opens up new colors and experiences. So I've yet to find that place scary or really, well, no, I have to really rethink that. Let me be impeccable with my words here. I can see how it can get a little scary. I'm always up for a challenge. So I'm always on the one with my feet dangling off a cliff. So I'm ready to jump because might be something cooler on the other side. Yeah, I think it can be challenging, but that's what life's about, right? I think that's what life's about. It's about seeing what we're made of. And in the end of it all, not only do we discover our divine feminine power, we start discovering our soul's planetary assignment. What are we really here for? And I really, Emmy, and this is why I love your podcast and the theme and you and your beautiful way of elevating this conversation, is that I really don't think we can really live into our divine assignment unless we step into our divine feminine power.
Goosebumps. Yeah, absolutely. That is so, so very true. And I just cannot wait for the day when every single person on our planet actually grasps that at a really, really deep level and is ready to step into that power no matter what it takes.
Yeah, yeah. Culture is nothing more than an agreement by a critical mass. So we really only need a critical mass to shift the culture, because that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And that really comes again back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier on, around the collective consciousness and us waking up en masse to really understand that we are literally a choice, maybe a couple of choices away from birthing that new earth, from stepping into that new age that could see us all living in more balance within our sacred masculine and sacred feminine. Within ourselves and as the collective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's that collective unified field for sure. And I'm actually, you just said something that inspired something in me that I actually never thought about. And by the way, this is what happens when two women are in the same collective field. You inspire one another with new ideas. That we're already there. I really think we're already there. We just have to pull back the veil and see it. And yeah, there's these little players. Players are going to play, right? There are these players over here that are resisting, that are holding on, that are distracting us, thinking that, yes, of course, the destruction that we have committed and the violence we've committed on Mother Earth, and our political systems, and people are suffering. I do believe there's a critical mass of us who are experiencing that, because we couldn't talk about it, I don't think, if we weren't almost there, or if not on our way there. And that means we're probably on the other side, we're heading to the end of this birth canal, getting us there. And that's a frequency that I want to live in. I want to immediately live in that frequency as if we're already there. And Because when we do that, we start attracting one another. And our constellation is far grander than this nitty-gritty little system of domination that is clearly falling apart.
Yeah, absolutely. So very true. Goosebumps all over again.
Me too.
Beautiful. Now, Sandy, we've talked about the critical mass, and I completely agree with you that we are already there. And I think those that are trying to resist are resisting because they see that they have failed, that they really have nowhere to go from this point, and they're trying their darnest to change things for their own benefit. But I do think it's too late for them already. At the same time, what do you feel is perhaps stopping or preventing some people, well, especially women, from achieving this highest vision that you've been talking about around women's leadership and what women's leadership could promise for our planet or is promising for our planet?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. I really think it's that we have, we really owe it to ourselves and to our planet and to the next seven generations to step into that responsibility. That we operate in a low vibration sometimes, and that we have to recognize that we have been duped over millennia, that we are, that we don't need one another, and that, and to really pull back the veil on who are we surrounding ourselves with? What is the story we're telling ourselves? And why are we not truly living that? And what's my role in that? So we also have a real practical, application that we can really be well served to pay attention to. And that's our buying power. When you start paying attention as a woman to the things we buy, then we actually can start making change in the world. And I know that's a totally different energy than what we're talking about, but it's really interesting because then we start paying closer attention to ourselves. So our buying power is, you know, women have 80 something percent. It depends on what year you look at the statistics. The last I looked, it was like 87% of the buying power in the home. So what would happen if women all over the world, or even in the United States, would stop buying plastic for a day, or would stop buying products that are not good for our planet? What would that say to the corporations? And corporations rule our world. They are the ultimate system of domination. So there's two things. There's our buying power and also our disconnect from one another. And I love to go into a relationship loving everybody. And generally speaking, I always love everybody no matter what. But I didn't always. Yet I think that we have to love ourselves first. And so ultimately, I would say that the number one thing, besides seeing our practical application out in the world that we do, which is our mostly make the greatest impact, and that's our buying power, really paying attention to what's going on inside of us. In our body, pay attention to our body. Start paying attention to those small signals that our body is telling us. Why is my heart fluttering right now? Why do I have a knot in my throat? What's going on in my stomach right now? And start becoming intimately involved in our body and practice body awareness. This is the greatest practice that we can do as women, I think. And men as well, but for women in particular, And to answer your question, when we start paying attention to our body, we start noticing we're not totally in our integrity right now. Mm. We start recognizing that, oh, I'm not spending my money right now, or my power, because our power is our vote. We can start noticing when we're not truly living in a loving condition to those who love us back. And every condition on the planet, we can start feeling in our body, because women particularly is nature embodied. So those are two ways that I believe that women really can transform the world, and ultimately why we haven't really lived in to our highest potential on this planet. It's because we forgot who we are and our power.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I love this idea of this nonviolent resistance through our buying power, that, yeah, if we all united in that, I mean, oh my goodness me, we could really literally change the world within a day, within a couple of hours. The systems and structures that we have been taught to believe in and live in would literally crumble within that one day if we all decided to do that. And this idea of reconnecting with what we've been taught to disconnect from for such a long time, and really truly root into our bodies, our heart wisdom, our cellular wisdom, that is so, so very powerful. Again, goosebumps all over just listening to you. That is such a beautiful, beautiful way for all of us to awaken to our power. And I think absolutely vital in our world at the time as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm.
Absolutely. That's it. That's it. Imagine that. We start paying attention to how we're spending our money and what our body is telling us.
Mm.
I don't think you need to read a book or even my book to discover the power of that. It just takes practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the beautiful thing is that I think more and more women all around the world, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of where we come from, really are waking up to this truth and are really starting to connect with our bodies at such a deep level. And it might start as these little whispers from our bodies, from our hearts, from our wombs. I work a lot with the womb space. So for me, it's womb whispers and womb winks that we start to get. And that will not leave us alone until we really, truly start to listen.
It's so true. You know, I used to hear that the older you get, the louder the womb's wisdom gets. And yet, I'd like to say we're just becoming better listeners. Mm-hmm. I think it's always been there. And some are more connected than others. And there's something to be said about the postmenopausal woman. And mm-hmm. once I read in my research that when we stop menstruating, that the blood stays in our womb to nurture our wisdom. And whether or not, maybe biologically that's not entirely true, but that vision of that brings us into that privilege, you know. Oh, I've been born into this. Mm-hmm. It's like a certain royalty. It's a certain royalty. And if I wore t-shirts, mine would say, I want to be a crone when I grow up. and that's only for me to know. It's not something I would walk around touting. I'm a crone, you know, because that's something very personal. And I feel like it is hallowed ground. I just have to live it. I don't have to brag about it. Although I did do a crone ceremony at the Parliament of the World's Religions not that long ago. It was pretty fascinating. It was pretty fun. So I have been crone initiated, but that doesn't mean I'm fully living into my cronism. I really have a lot of growth to do, and I'm aware of that. And perhaps that's part of that crone wisdom. I don't know.
Mm.
But I think we all have it.
Yeah, for sure. We do. And it's a matter of rooting into that and allowing it, I guess, allowing it to become our compass, our true north in so many ways.
True north, yes.
True north, yeah, that's
I
it.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, Sandy, you have shared so much wisdom, so many beautiful, beautiful pointers in our chat during this short amount of time. And I am sure that our listeners are just dying to find out more about you and also find out where to get your book. So would you please share with us how to find you and where to get your book?
Thank you, Emmy. Well, where to find me is best at liminalodyssey.com or sandyhart.com. And I spell my name with an E, S-A-N-D-E-H-E-R-T. And my book is on Amazon or any online bookseller. It's also available, if you're in the United States, on my website. And also, I will add that if you're in the UK, I actually have a free audiobook for you. So reach out to me at any either one of those websites, and I'd be happy to send you the audiobook. Sorry, it's weird with audio, Audible, but you have to have Audible. And also, I have an upcoming 12-month series called A Course in Liminality, based on the philosophies that I'm talking about, which was inspired by someone who has taken another course and wants a more intense, immersive one. I said, please make this a 12-month series. And for your listeners, Emmy, I have a free introductory workshop. I do charge a small amount for that, but I want it to be free to your listeners. And that can be found under events at liminalodyssey.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for offering that to the listeners. Certainly something I'll be grabbing right away as well and starting to learn more about. That sounds absolutely beautiful. Sandy, is there anything else that's still arising for you in this moment that's really calling to be shared?
It's graceful gratitude to you, Emmy. I think that you are opening so many hearts and eyes and inner eyes and womb wisdom from where you sit. And that is just the greatest service. And we all have a service in us. We all have a passion that meets the needs in the world. And I'm so grateful that you're living yours, because it's benefiting me and so many. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot to me, Sandy. Appreciate that. And thank you for all that you do and all that you are, all that you're becoming. Really, really honored to have met you and to have had you on the show. Thank you.
My delight.
Beautiful. Now, everybody, just for a moment, let's focus our intention and our awareness on this powerful, inspiring energy that's been activated. And imagine sending this energy to everyone and everything on our planet to remember that we are all truly one, and that the more of us have the courage to step into our sacred feminine power, into our leadership, the more quickly our planet will also ascend and heal. Thanks so much for listening.